Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers for this February 19th, 2024, 3:04 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Maloff. I am joined by one of our partners in sports, pitch hitting today, Seth Habager.
Hello, everyone.
We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining Seth and I. We're going to be joined for the fourth period a little bit later at 3:30 by our head friend and GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul Peckman. Coach also bringing in Jake Briceland with him. Jake, a forward with our River Kings. Looking nice. Forward to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had to mention that Jake's with the River Kings. For one, I bet you the River King fans out there know
that
he's
a
River
yeah.
King. But it would also be a little weird if coaches bring Jake Briceland. Okay, he has no association with hockey. He's just
yeah,
King and bringing Jake.
Guy, just bring it in.
I feel like I didn't have to necessarily say, but yeah. Well,
hey, why not?
We're looking forward to talking to Coach and Jake a little bit later. Looking forward to talking to you guys. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. If you're listening on the Civic Media app, thank you. You are just a touch or two away from getting a hold of Seth and I with your sports thoughts and feelings and takes and all of that. It's a Monday. Hot takes are all around.
Hot takes.
Let's hear them. We'd love to hear from you about those and anything else. We've got pitchers and catchers reporting, so we want to talk a little baseball with you. I want to get into a couple of other things with you, Seth, if we have time.
All right.
And we'll certainly talk some River Kings and local sports around here. But I wanted to start in two places. For one, did you have anything? Do you have anything that was on your mind sports-wise? Your sports bandwidth?
My sports bandwidth? No, I mean, other than the All-Star game thing.
The
NBA, whatever that was.
I think we'll have time for that.
Okay.
And we'll see. If our callers don't bring it up, then we'll definitely wrap up our show probably talking about it.
That's fine. Either way on that one. I know it's baseball. We're getting into baseball season now, of course. We got spring training getting underway here. And I'm glad because this has been, I'm sad to say it was kind of a yawner of an offseason. The hot stove was not very hot this year.
Yeah.
It was kind of boring. And we still have free agents.
Yeah.
We still have guys who have not signed yet.
One of the topics I wanted for us to get into in baseball was five free agents who markets could heat up soon from MLB.com. If we have time, want to get into that. We'll make time. We'll get into that one for sure.
They have one big connection. Mm-hmm. All five of them have one big connection.
Yes. Oh, one dire connection.
Yes.
A deep one.
Deep, yes.
Let's start here, if you don't mind. Just want to, because it kind of ties local into a little bit of it. For those who did not hear, the Naismith Hall of Fame have announced their basketball award winners for the Hall of Fame this year, who is going into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Very cool.
And again, for those that don't know, the Basketball Hall of Fame is for all of basketball. You played your whole career in Europe. You played your whole career in college. Doesn't matter.
I love that.
Oh.
That's one of the great aspects of the NBA. I think all Halls of Fame should do that.
100%.
Yeah, man.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yep.
One of my favorite things you and I have agreed on, or earlier things you and I have agreed on. It's all
right.
Hall of Fame. Baseball Hall of Fame should be all baseball.
I agree.
Football, same thing. But this is, they announced aerial artist Vince Carter, big shot maker Chauncey Billups, smooth scoring Simone Augustus, and Wisconsin's winningest coach, Bo Ryan.
How about that?
Headline 14 finalists announcing Friday for the enshrinement in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to all of them, and locally, of course, to Bo Ryan, Coach Ryan. It's pretty cool to see. For just a quick look at Coach's career here, Ryan went 747 and 233 in his career with a 762 winning percentage in 32 seasons. That's overall. He, of course, started at University Platteville, Wisconsin, then went to Wisconsin-Milwaukee, then, of course, UW, leading the Badgers men's teams to 14 straight NCAA tournament appearances and back-to-back Final Fours in 2014 and 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Unprecedented. In Wisconsin basketball history.
Yeah. He's bar none the best that they've ever had. And but when you read back those statistics, man, that winning percentage, holy cow.
Yeah.
That's like in rarefied air. That's like the top college coaches of all time. I had no idea.
There are generations not far from ours, if not our. We don't, I think you might even be able to include ours. I know a lot of my friends that have grown up knowing a Wisconsin basketball that the generations before that did not know.
No, not at all.
It's kind of also speaks to why when we have a team like this team this year that's got a lot of good talent on it, but maybe doesn't bring it all together on days like Saturday and that, it can be so frustrating. I don't think that the fan base is spoiled by any means. means. Mm. But whatever the tick is under that, whatever, you know, just almost where you expect, they don't expect maybe to win, but you expect to win those kind of games, especially in the Big Ten.
Exactly.
Makes it a little more frustrating, I think.
Not necessarily a powerhouse when it comes to basketball, the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And, occasionally, but.
And it'd be one thing, and this is kind of funny, and maybe the only time we've ever been able to say this in history, it'd be one thing if the Wisconsin men's basketball team lost to the women's Iowa basketball team. I think we could all be like, well, yeah, it was Caitlin Clark. I mean, come on, you know? I mean, we could stomach that a little bit more. You lose by two or three to her. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But the men's side, to Seth's point, But congratulations to Coach Ryan.
Yeah.
Very well-deserved.
Well-deserved. I love that.
Also,
by the way, there was I recognized two names on that, the players, Chauncey Billups, and, of course, Vince Carter, two of the all-time greats. The third name I'm not familiar with. Is that an older school?
A great female player.
Oh,
she
was. Okay, I'm not familiar with the name. I feel bad about that.
Really was one of the reasons, one of the people that really early on got the WNBA started. And I don't blame you for not knowing. I don't think a lot of people would. I am just a basketball nerd, so I know
you
a lot
know all
of
this stuff, right?
But I thought she was very well deserving to her, too. And, you know, we usually get our stat of the show in. We've got a couple callers that like to bring them in. And shout out to you guys. We look forward to talking with you. We usually get that in midway through the show. I'm going to kind of start off our show
a little bit
with a stat of the show for you. And this is kind of interesting. And again, a local tie-in. For those that did not hear this, and kind of almost wrapping up our Super Bowl talk, if you will, unless you want to talk about that, you guys, please feel free to call in and we'll talk about it.
Right.
Stat of the show, Pro Football Focused, highest graded player from this past Super Bowl. Highest graded. The highest rated player was Grantburg's own Leo Chanel.
Huh?
UW-Madison's own Leo Chanel. And if you watch the game, you may have been like, well, wait a minute, I didn't really hear his name mentioned or anything like that. You saw him. You seen him. You seen the impact that young man made. In his second year in the league, they found, because Coach Spags is, I think, the great, maybe the... I'm saying this as a Chicago Bear fan. I think Coach Spags is the greatest defensive coordinator ever. Ever. Better than Buddy Ryan.
Bold takes.
Yes. But it's Monday. Bold takes.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's ever been a better defensive coordinator, and it may never be. We'll see. But yeah, congratulations to Leo Chanel, who probably should have been the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny to say it, but look at the stats. Watch the game. The kid was magnificent.
Yeah.
And because Spags is smart, just like Andy Reid, where it's not my way or the highway. It's I got this kid. I got this skill set.
Use your weapons.
Yes.
Use your weapons.
And they did, man. That kid was on fire that game. Maybe the game of his life that Sunday. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Not bad.
Good. How you doing?
Good day. Good day to be a Brewer.
I got right up, pulled up here. I don't even have his stats or anything. I just typed in Brandon Woodruff. I just typed that in. That's all I typed in, just to make sure we talked about Mr. Woodruff. Is that where you're going?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, I have to say I'm kind of proud of myself. I did some digging this weekend on TikTok. They've been kind of doing, you know, different things, you know, like with some of the pro athletes. And they brought up J.J. Watt, the game that made him famous. Do you know which one it is?
Ooh, wow. Wow.
No.
Yeah. It's hard for us to say in state, I think, because he's been famous since he stepped on campus at UW.
Is that a college or pros?
A college game. Which college game?
Oh, wow. Boy.
Was just coming out.
Got me there.
I'm going to give you the year, 2010.
2010.
Boy, yeah. Man, I don't remember this morning that well.
Okay, that was against Ohio State when Wisconsin beat him when Ohio State was number one in the country.
Oh,
yeah. Now
that was a big game.
Now
yeah.
It clicks. Yep.
Okay, now I'm going to throw some names at you, and I'm going to, I know, James, you're going to probably go, oh. So, okay, first one, Nick Toon.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Second name, Chris Borland.
Oh, yes. I really thought Borland was going to have a heck of an NFL career. I did, at least. I may have been the only one, but I did.
You know, the concussions.
Yeah, that was...
That whole deal with him.
Yeah.
Here's another one for you. Jared Aberderis.
Yes. Aberderis, rock me Aberderis. Yes. God, I loved him.
That's great.
Yeah, great player.
Do you know who the quarterback was at that time?
boy. Oh wow.
There's only one name that's coming to my brain. I know it's got to be wrong. It's not Bollinger, is it?
No. Scott Tolzien.
Wow.
I don't even remember that name.
You know, that's weird. I would have thought, for some reason, I remember him farther back. But no, that you're right. That adds up. Well, of course you're right. You're looking at it. But,
you know, and here's one. A kid that had a ton of talent, but had a nickel head, was John Clay.
Yeah, yeah.
I even remember that name. Yeah.
He got in trouble, you know, and he could have been a really good NFL running back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, similar to the Moss kid some years before that. Yep. I thought the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great rundown.
Then James White was also a freshman on that team too. That team. So I mean that 2010 team that beat Ohio State, and I think he went on to ruin the Rose Bowl that year too.
Wow.
Or either they won the Rose Bowl or got beat by, I think that might have been the game, they got beat by TCU. Mm, mm. But, I mean, Wisconsin's had some pretty good ballers come out of Wisconsin. You know, like you said, we had some great coaches. I mean, you had Barry Alvarez, you know. It's just the coaches that we had. I guess you'd almost have to say that with Barry coming to Wisconsin, and at the time, I can't remember who the AD was at that time. It just kind of drew a blank here.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Brought him in, you know, it just was a big snowball. He just kept bringing bigger names in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, Wisconsin sport, we've been spoiled. I mean, just like the Packers fans, we have been spoiled with coaching and players that we've had come through here from, you know, from football and basketball and, you know, even into the hockey end of it, too. I mean,
you know, and one thing,
great players there.
One of the things that I love about that for Wisconsin fans and just in general as a sports fan is we grow up our whole lives, you know, seeing in different sports the big teams that bring in every free agent or something like that, and all the big sports. And while the Yankees certainly, you know, going way back in their history, have earned to be the empire, the evil empire, and all those things, It's not as fun to root for guys that grew up in their system, like a Derek Jeter or something like that. It doesn't hit the same. But with teams like this, like with a Badger team, or even the Packers or something like that, when it comes to that, when they hit on a guy, it just seems to mean so much more.
I agree.
And it adds to the history and the lore of that team. I mean, there's people out there that might think, well, the Yankees traded for Derek Jeter or something like that. Yeah. It may sound far-fetched, but there's your average fans out there that think, oh, well, they just brought in this guy and this guy. Well, they must have brought in that guy, too. He's good. Whereas with a Green Bay team, Reggie White, what was he always there? You know, your average fan. I'm not talking about your diehard fans. Your diehard fans, of course, are going to know this stuff. But your average fan, they're going to look at a Reggie White and go, oh, has he always been there? He was in green before.
It
hits differently with
green.
These. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, one of my favorite quotes about the Yankees was in the 50s when they were out in the World Series every year and won most of them, except for like 57 when the Braves beat them. But someone said, rooting for the Yankees is like rooting for U.S. Steel. Or like to update that, rooting for the Yankees is like rooting for Walmart, you know?
Wow, that's
like, why would you do that? Who wants to root for them? I mean, the giant thing. No, forget that.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, that is pretty good. Wow.
You know, you bring up Bo Ryan and all, and just how you sit there and watch the Badger team now, and how it's just, you wish you could bring him back so he could bring the defense back to Wisconsin. I mean, the last six games have been tough watching, you know, but I have to say it was kind of a rough weekend for the men's sports in Wisconsin this weekend.
Yeah, it was
with
a bit
Ohio
of one.
State getting swept, sweeping the hockey, and
and Ohio State's not very good this year.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They only had two conference wins up until the weekend.
Yikes.
Well, let's.
But the bright spot was that the women turned around and swept Minnesota.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
In hockey. So, I mean.
God, that ladies' Badger hockey team is something. Mm-hmm. I love watching them. That's a fun team. Let's shift gears a little bit to some, I think, positive news in the state when it comes to sports and the news about Brandon Woodruff. For those that didn't hear, the Brewers signed Brandon Woodruff to a two-year extension or a two-year contract.
Contract, right.
So basically, this first year, he's going to rehab. And next year, it's an all-in. I'm playing for another contract, maybe just, playing my career out.
Yep.
We'll see. We don't know because of this injury is so hard to predict, and he is 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But getting all that out of the way, Brandon Woodruff is exactly what I was just talking about when you root for these kind of teams, and you're a fan of these kind of teams, mm-hmm. and you have a guy that you bring up. He just means different. He just hits different. And being able to say, hey, Brandon Woodruff's still in the clubhouse. He's still a part of the team.
Yeah, right.
Like it may seem like PR. It may not seem like that much. Man, it's 162 games. It's a long season. Having guys like that, having good stories like that, there can't be enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this time of year where we're all – everything's hope. Outside of if you're an Oakland A's fan, and God bless you if you are, and yeah. I feel for you. I mean that. I'm not being sarcastic. I genuinely mean that. I got a lot of friends in that area.
Yep.
I think that all of us can be excited and have some expectations and some hope for our team. Did anybody, did any Arizona Diamondback fan out there last year think their team was going to be that competitive? The Texas Rangers, as big as they think in Texas, did they really think they were going to win the World Series?
Yeah.
Maybe they hoped, but did they really think they could?
Excellent point.
There's a lot to be hopeful about this year. I know that the Dodgers look like the modern evil empire and everything,
right.
But we've seen that story, and we've seen it not always end that well. I don't think it's a guarantee that they're going to win.
The Dodgers have only won once in the recent 40 years. So, I mean, and that was the COVID year. So, I mean, whatever you want to take from that, you can. You know, it's interesting. I'm so, the whole reason, I don't know if this was part of the plan. The Brewers designate him for assignment, which means they were going to send him down or he could get free agency. I'm really shocked no one else did the same thing like the Brewers did with him.
Me too.
A 2-year, low deal kind of thing, just so he get 1 year for rehab. Because you've seen that a couple times now where you get a guy for 2 years, so 1 year he can get back and then see what he's got. I wouldn't be surprised if Woodruff moves into the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a really good back-end bullpen guy.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with you on that, Seth, either, too. I mean, he could be, just because of what extensive surgery they're doing with the shoulder. But, a couple of things I was thinking about today with them signing him is that with the amount of young guys we have on the Brewer pitching staff right now, he could be that guy that could be, just be in their ear,
Extra pitching coach.
And just relax, go out there and just wing it, just fling it, just throw it and have fun. And also, if he, if rehab goes well, could he make that 40-man roster at the end of the year if they make that playoff push?
Right. Ooh, intriguing.
Could he be that guy at the end of the season when they, again, I don't really do the September call-ups anymore, but they kind of, open their rosters up a little bit more. But, I think it was a good thing. And I kind of wonder in the back of my head, too, is, did Brandon get offers from other teams like this, but he did not want to go?
Yeah,
that's a great question.
Really love to know.
Yeah.
Like to think that he stayed.
Now that Burns is gone and maybe Woodruff will be the man again.
The guy. Yep.
Yeah.
If you listen to the people talking about it, this surgery he had in the shoulder is tough to come back from.
It's hard to say.
There is a really good article at MLB.com. Encourage people to check out from Jake McGruber. Does nice reporting over there. Brewers Milner has a profile as low as his ERA. It's a really nice article on Hobie Milner, the kind of setup man. Wasn't that kind of the setup man for Devin Williams in that Milwaukee Brewer bullpen? Coach Murphy, or Manager Murphy, talking a little bit about the use of him this year and how they don't really want to change things up. They've got something that works. If you are a starter for the Brewers, all I got to do is get to the sixth. Just get to the sixth inning. If you can get to that, even the fifth in some regard, but really the sixth inning. You can pitch five, and I can't believe I am saying this as a baseball fan, but give him five innings. God. and you're almost, good luck. Good luck to any hitter out there. Good luck to anybody trying to hit off of those two, going forward.
We have seen teams that have ridden their bullpens. All I need to talk about is the 14-15 Kansas City Royals, the three-headed monster they had at the end of their bullpen. And you cannot tell me they would have won the World Series without those guys. They shortened the game.
Yeah.
They were talking, too. Some of the talking heads, too, said that that the Miller, Arribas, and then Williams, those three could be the best setup. Closers you could have.
The best back end guys. Yeah.
Setups,
Yep.
And then they were trying to compare him to the Boston Red Sox back in the day.
Mm. Oh sure, yeah. With Kimbrel, or are you talking farther back?
Further back, I can't remember the nickname they called them. They called them can't remember what it was. But I'm kind of excited. I mean, we might actually have the offense this year that if everybody can get hot and stay hot.
Yeah,
and hit their averages and stuff. And with that bullpen, you said, get to the fifth or sixth, we could be in good shape.
Yep.
Just a real quick random stat here, just because of what we're talking about with starting pitching. Cy Young started 815 games in his career, and he pitched a complete game 749 of those games. And did all that not winning a Cy Young.
Well, yeah, they didn't have it. Yeah, that's hilarious. Okay, hilarious,
I had to. It was just sitting there. I had to.
No, these are records, James, that will never be broken. Yeah. Never, ever, ever.
On that note, James, I'm going to probably hang up now.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good call. Good idea. Thank you for the call, man. Have a great week.
All right, you guys have a great week, too.
815 games. It's incredible.
He won 511 games. When it's hard for pitchers to get to 200 wins now.
Yeah.
He won 500.
Seth and I, our last 5 minutes before we go to our first break here, I wanted to touch on some of the bigger free agents out there in Major League Baseball. We can come back to this, too, a little bit later if you want. But Tim Anderson is still out there, and I know he had a horrible year last year, but I thought that was quite interesting.
He could be useful. I don't know. That's a weird one. I'm surprised no one's – unless he's asking too much. That's the only thing that I can imagine, but yeah.
Marcus Stroman is still out there, of course. Signed with the Yankees. That's right. Well, and that leads into me. So now the latest reporting I have been seeing is that Blake Snell could still end up in the Bronx.
Wow.
But he is the big name still out there, along with Cody Bellinger, it seems like they're playing chicken, the Cubs and Bellinger right now, just seeing who's going to blink first.
If Bellinger has not signed yet, that means that his market isn't as good as he thought it was.
Yeah.
Go back to the Cubs, man. They love you there. Yeah. You had a great season. It's a great place to play, you know, and just go back, man. Just go back.
And nobody's spending. Nobody's budging on this.
Not right now. There's a lot of uncertainty right now because of the regional sports network issue that's going on throughout the game right now that has not been resolved.
So. Yeah. If you care about baseball and you're wondering what are the biggest things to focus on going forward and everything, I think now that they've got a lot of the rules worked out and going into the second year of some of those big rule changes, that's the big one. TV, getting a streaming service.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball, MLB.com, streaming. Owning it. You. Do what the NFL Network did, and then just break it down regionally.
Yeah.
And just break it off regionally. But none of these other networks can do it. Some of them have gone bankrupt trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're biting off your nose to spite your face. You're trying to make, we got a big money. We can make tons of money in California. You can't make that kind of money over in Detroit Michigan.
Yeah,
you can't,
right.
It's the same thing baseball's already done. Baseball's done this with their bargaining. Yankees make all this money. The A's get a little of it. The Mariners get a little
luxury
of it.
Luxury tax. They used to call it. They call it something else now. But
same thing.
Competitive use tax? Whatever.
Yeah. I think the same thing needs to be done for their TV deal.
Mm-hmm. So, and to they have the infrastructure. Baseball Advanced, what they used to be called Baseball Advanced Media, it's StatCast now, is one of the best internet infrastructures there is around. They've got the technology to do it. They can do it. And it's just, and now I know just recently Rob Manfred came out while alluding to when he's going to be done, which is weird because it wouldn't be for 5 years. What's up with him? Anyway,
I don't buy that.
He said, no, it doesn't sound like that's what they're going for. But man, it makes more sense. It makes sense to do that way. But I don't know.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest storylines, I think, in baseball, though, going right. forward.
By the way, all those five free agents, the big ones we're talking about, Scott Boras is every single one of them's agent, which tells you all you need to know because this is the way he works. This is the way Scott yeah. Boras does business. Yeah. So
I wanted to wrap on that note, and especially if you know who Scott Boras is, that is
yes.
a go-to-break kind of name.
It is.
It's kind of like, you know,
he is like the agent.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be. He's like the guy.
Well, and he's that guy, too, that you don't even have to know much about sports, but you hear that name and your skin crawls a little. Like, you know, even if he represents you.
Yeah. But that's what you want, right? You want an agent that's in there fighting for you, right? That's the guy you want.
Yeah. It's absolutely true.
That's why he's so good.
Could probably use a little of that in my agent. I could probably go into break.
Does he sign actors? I don't know.
Find out. I'm going to give him a call. We will be back with the fourth period, everybody. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to join us. He's got Jake with him, one of the players. He's going to have some fun talking a little hockey. Coming up with our River Kings right here on Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
From Wisconsin Rapids.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here at WFHR. It is time to kick off the fourth period where we talk some Wisconsin Rapids River Kings with our GM and head coach, Paul Peckman. Coach, thanks for being here. Good to see you. Thanks for the time.
Good to see you.
And you brought a friend. I appreciate that. We've got Jake with us. Jake, we have Jake Bryson with us. Jake, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for inviting me here.
Well, I should say, this isn't the first time I've seen you. I've seen you on the ice quite a bit. First time I've gotten a chance to really talk with you outside of kind of over at the rink when we touch base a little bit. Thanks a lot for being here, Jake.
Oh, no, appreciate it.
I appreciate you bringing players like this with you, Coach, all the time. It's fun for our community to get to know these guys a little bit more and everything.
Absolutely.
We always appreciate that time. I want to talk a little bit about the week that was last week. Kind of a weird week for you guys, I imagine, playing in the middle of the week, some of that. But let's get to know you a little bit first, Jake. Where are you from?
I'm from England. Place called Telford in England. So it's, you know, not as good as London, but, you know, it's out on the West Coast. So.
All right, right on. Is it outside of London? Is it a ways away from London?
It's like the other side of the country. I'm closer to Wales, so
right on.
I'm about 3 hours from London. So,
You know, I have to tell you, I was talking to my dad, I think it was last year I came back from the interviews with you guys, and like, Dad, they got a couple English guys over there. And I grew up in a hockey house, you know, and around a lot of guys from all over the world and everything, but I don't remember running around a lot of guys with your accent.
Yeah.
And I asked my dad about it. He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's huge over there. Like, really? Like, oh yeah, it's huge, huge. Hockey's very big in very big in the UK.
Yeah, it's growing. So I mean, when I first started, it wasn't as popular, but our men's team, especially in World Championships, are getting better and better every year. So there's more people interested. You know, even to our pro games, we get more fans every day. So it's really growing.
You know, it's got to be interesting, I imagine, to be in the early days of this. And you know, when we look at the scheme of things and everything, time is such a flat circle. So you're really in the beginnings of kind of building the sport over there. That's got to have a great feeling to it.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool because, you know, like a lot of people in my school, I was probably one of two people in my whole school who played hockey. You know, like we don't have school hockey teams. And so, I mean, when I was in high school over there, a part of my day was, you know, telling everyone about hockey, so letting everyone know. And then, you know, I ended up getting, like, you know, five or six people to start playing. And now, you know, my school has, like, a recognition thing for hockey. So, like, everyone, you know, who plays hockey gets help from the school, and they're trying to make it bigger, and they're trying to fund it more. So
how do you learn the sport? How do you get involved in the sport with nothing really to build on?
So it's a funny story, actually. One day I was riding my bike, and I fell off my bike. It was a nasty accident, and some guy came, picked me up. It turns out that guy played for the GB national team in hockey.
Oh, man.
And
wow.
So his name was Russ Plan, and so I knocked both my teeth out, and first thing he said, well, it was you're halfway to being a hockey player. And from that day, he just taught me how to play hockey, gave me a stick, and, you know,
wow.
by you know, a year later, I was in skates playing my first game. So
there are no coincidences. Yep, you know, that things happen for a reason, man. That yeah, is exactly. Awesome. That is really yeah. Cool. One of the better accidents ever happened to you, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, definitely. I mean, I wasn't happy about the front teeth, yeah. But I mean, they came back because they were my baby teeth. So
right on.
You know, you can't complain.
Jake, why choose to bring your skill set to Wisconsin Rapids here? What was it about the River Kings that made you want to play here and play for Coach?
Well, I mean, Coach Paul is just a great guy. And, you know, there's a couple teams, you know, I played mostly over on the East Coast for the past 2 years. But there's just so much structure here. And, you know, I feel like this program wants to, you know, we want to win nationals. We want to, you know, strive for something better. Whereas a lot of the places you go, you don't get that, you know, that team. But here it's really like, you know, the community here is just great. The team are great. And I think everyone works together pretty well, and it just, you know, it feels good. It feels good to be here.
Right on. So. Jake, really appreciate you being here. Really appreciate what you're doing for our city, for our communities, for our team. And cool to get to know you, man. Yeah. Like, thank you for the story. Thank you for that. I really appreciate you sharing that. That's very interesting. I cannot wait. If my dad's not already listening, he's already talking to the radio, thinks I could listen. I can't answer him. I can't answer him back. Coach, when it comes to recruiting players like this, especially from an area that you don't get a hockey hotbed, you know, is that part of the skill of recruiting, the skill of scouting, is seeing that diamond in the rough and finding those? Or is it just it was just plain, like, well, Jake's that kind of talent?
Well, with Jake, was if you remember, we had two guys on our team last year from England, right?
Yeah.
Ewan Hill and and Kane Russell, who had mentioned him, and a good friend of ours, his advisor, Steve James, that I've become good friends with. Mm-hmm. You know, had mentioned Jake, and Jake was here for the playoffs last year, right? So I knew he played prep school in New York, so I knew what he was playing. I was watching him on film, so I knew what he can do. And I said, all right, let's get this kid here, right? So, and being that he had those guys already here, so it was kind of a little more comfortable transition right out of the gate. He was just walking right into the team in the playoffs, right, which is not easy to do. So I think that got him a little more comfortable, knowing that he came back this year and just has really elevated his game, right? So what does it take? A lot of relationships and trust, right? Okay. And when guys recommend, and then it's just watching, right, and seeing it for yourself and knowing where this, you know, each kid fits in and where can he go, you know, and that's how that works.
Right on. I love talking scouting with you. I love talking about that stuff. It's so interesting to me. And, you know, one of the things that you learn too, growing up in a sports household, and any routine, how routine sports is, and how much that routine matters to sports, and whether it is a practice or anything else, you have this kind of way of doing things. And especially when you've been playing a season's worth of hockey, you really get into that routine, and you really feel like this is the way things go. And then, of course, a couple of weeks to the end of the season, you've got these midweek games that throw all of that off a little bit. How different was your week last week, you guys? And how was – why was it? What did you do differently?
Well, we didn't do a lot, to tell you the truth. Monday we started we broke up the team, and we made 3-on-3 teams. And I let them just take a break, right, and go have some fun. We did a couple drills here, and then – the second half of practice was let them go play 3-on-3. So they have this inner team. Mm-hmm. They got a group of teams, and they compete against each other.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. So on Monday, so we do that, and we did that today as well. So, and Tuesday was just really about special teams and just light and getting it ready. This is a team that we know we faced already. Yes, it's in the middle of the week, and it was very awkward. It was just didn't feel right.
Yeah,
you know, playing at 12:00 on a Wednesday just didn't make sense, but we got through it. We did what we needed to do. We came down there and made sure we came home with 4 points, and we accomplished that, and then we go to the next step, right? So
that's River Kings on last Wednesday, a great Valentine's Day for you guys. 5-0 shutout of the Chicago Crush, for those that didn't hear. Great game by our Kings. And the next night, pulling off another victory against the Chicago Crush. So, like as Coach says, they're bringing in 4 points into the weekend when other teams hadn't even played yet. So that's a nice way to go into the week, even if it is a little awkward, a little weird. Not so bad the way it ended up wrapping up and working out. But then you have a little bit of a longer, I don't like to use the word layoff, but a little longer of a layoff than you do normally with that. So how does this week go building, getting back into the routine?
Well, I think we started off with a little conditioning today. So, we kind of get back into reality and understand, there's certain things more important than just playing hockey here. And a couple of guys are losing sight of that a little bit here, so we had to rein them in a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we did a little extra skating today. And we'll get back into the regular week. You know, I mean, we have our battle day tomorrow, which we may tail off a little bit, just depending. And we got, the new kid Goodwin is here.
Yeah.
His brother's coming tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. So we got that mix coming up. So we're really just going to get into, let's do some fun 3-on-3 stuff, some chemistry stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure guys are in the right spots in here going into Hudson. We all know what's at stake.
Yeah.
Right. So, so hopefully we got the right mix.
Let's get into that, Coach. What is at stake? These last games of the regular season, wrapping up the regular season with against Hudson, and just catching everybody up standings wise. Hudson is right ahead of us. It is 1-2. It's not.
We're in first place.
We are in first. That's right. I'm sorry. My standings didn't update here. I apologize. But that's right. So this is a different game. Let's catch people up on the standings. We're in number one. Wait. Hudson's at number two.
Nope.
No.
Squatch is number two.
They don't beat last night.
Oh, okay. Squatch, I apologize.
No.
Hudson got beat. Okay, all right. My standings on the website here didn't update. I apologize.
Yeah, if you look at our website, yeah, it's
okay. So it's like 3 weeks ago, the way we were looking at these last games against Hudson was okay. It's a chance to get that number one spot. It's all building to that. Well, now
we're up. 2 points on Hudson. So we're 63. Squatch is 62. Hudson's 61.
Thank you, Coach. The hunter becomes the hunted, the kind of thing. How does that – does it change anything for you guys? No. Or same old approach? Same approach, game?
It's we know what we need to do to be successful, right, and how we play and the mindset that we use going into each game. You know, we need to play hard, fast, and physical and just be smart and disciplined. So – we do that, we're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. I think we have the talent to do that. And we know who we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
We know, like I said, what's at stake now. So we win both. We clinch the division, get the title, and then we move on to the first round. So we don't. If we win one, we get second place.
With that on in mind, going into this weekend, is there a difference between regular season, got to get ready for the playoffs, keeping your eye on the ball these last two games of the regular season, Jake? Is there any difficulty with that, or is it just again kind of old hat? You're back into the routine of things, and let's go ahead and play some hockey.
I think it's mostly just like, you know, remembering that even though there is a lot at stake for this weekend, it's just remembering that, you know, you got to play it how you play every game, you know, and make sure that you go out the same, practice the same, and make sure you just, it doesn't matter who you're playing, you just got to work hard and make sure, you know, you're out there to win. So
I think that's a good attitude. You're having a great season, man. Just keep whatever you're doing, just keep doing it, man. You're having a great season, and really do appreciate you being here today.
Oh, thank you.
Coach, as we're wrapping up, we never have enough time. As we're wrapping up, is there any odds and ends you wanted to touch on, any notes that you wanted to get to we didn't get a chance to?
Well, let's go back to the locker room. I know we've been mentioning that a lot. Mm-hmm. We've come up with a plan C now where I think it's going to we've got that finalized. We're going to be, at the end of the season, we're going to be relocating our locker room to one of the existing locker rooms that are there, locker room 4, and we're going to be refurbishing that and making that our own. So it's a lot more economical and a lot faster.
Yeah,
right? We'll be ready, and we'll have our own new space. And our locker room now, my office will flip-flop, and I'll have a bigger version of an office in my locker room. We'll have our storage room there. So everything kind of worked out really quick. And so it really doesn't interrupt too many other programs.
Fantastic. That's great to hear for skating, for hockey, for all of the above here in this town, in this area. Because we know, as I've heard from a lot of people over the last couple of months since this has been talked about, it's not just Rapids residents that use that facility. We have people from all over the city, all over this area in central Wisconsin, Wood County, coming over there and play and watch games, of course. That is our good story of the day right there, man. That's great to hear, Coach. That is really good to hear. Thank you for that. And thank you to everybody that worked so hard to make that happen. Because our team deserves this, has earned it, and it doesn't necessarily mean, okay, well, then we're done. You know, maybe in the years to come, we can make this, add to this and add to that, or, you know, make things a little bit better here or there. This was so integral, getting these certain steps done, and that's great to hear. Really good to hear.
I'm excited and relieved, and, you know, now we can focus on putting that together here and not having to worry about going into next season, what's going to happen and where we're going to be, right?
So,
put that to bed and focus on the task at hand.
River Kings take on the Hudson Havoc this weekend. Both games in Hudson. We're rooting for you guys. We'll be pulling for you. We'll be there in spirit and so excited next Monday to talk a little playoff hockey with you, Coach. I cannot.
Sounds good.
Man, that feels good to say. And again, Jake, thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Appreciate the time. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll be back. Seth and I will be back with some more playmakers right here on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Seth and James hanging out with you. Take you right to the top of the hour with your phone calls, 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Listening on the Civic Media app, thank you. Go ahead and just a touch or two away from getting a hold of us.
Yep, that's right.
Big thank you to Coach Paul Peckman and for joining us, and a big thank you to Jake Briceland as well. Really good to get to know Jake there a little bit more.
It's fun to listen to the players talk about what's going on. Yeah. It's always nice.
I can talk hockey. I can talk with hockey players to the end of days. I'm good with that, but getting to meet a kid like that who is from such a when it comes to hockey, such a you know, not a dead zone anymore. There's like I said, or in the interview, my father even remembers hearing some Englishmen, some people over there that liked hockey. But it's so, like, it's really grown since then, and to hear like how to if a kid in Wisconsin or anywhere in the Midwest wants to get into hockey, okay, take this, do this, et cetera, et cetera. For him out in the UK, in England, it's kind of, well, good luck. And to go from there to get to here, to take that just shows so much building of not only a building of skill and everything, but of character. To see something like that through. How many kids do we know that get into something at a certain age, like 13 or 14 or something like that, and 2 minutes later they're into this?
Something
and
else.
2 minutes later
they're
into that. Like, that's a credit to him and his character. Like, that's that's incredible.
That's a commitment. Yeah.
He's truly like building the sport out there. We heard him talking about, like, in school, how he part of his time was spent telling people what hockey is and everything. He's literally helped growing the sport over there.
The actual rules. One of the favorite things that I've ever experienced, I went over to England once to be part of a conference, and I stayed with a friend of Beth's who she was from Pennsylvania. She married an English guy, and they were living over in England. So I go to the, you know, I get to their, they're in the Midlands, you know, kind of the middle west of England, if you will. And he picks me up from the train station, and you know, we're a little small chat. I've never met him before in my life, and we're, you know, small talk and all this stuff. And there's a break in the conversation, and he kind of says, "So, do you like baseball?" And I was like, yeah, sure.
All the people to say that to.
Why? He's like, "Oh, I didn't think people like baseball in the US anymore."
Oh, wow.
Because it's all football. And I'm like, no, oh, it's really big.
Oh, sure.
I found the biggest baseball fan in England. I mean, he was a part of, they have leagues over there, like amateur leagues, and it's really actually well organized. It's bigger than you would think in England right now. But I swear to God, the next day and a half, we talked about baseball.
That's awesome.
Which was fun. It was really cool to hear from a different perspective of our game, you know. So it was really fun, though. I got to say, it was really fun.
I love what's happening in the NBA. You know, where our whole lives, it's been American, 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 and Sabonis, or, you know, Detlef Schrempf, or just, you know, once in a while you have, it seemed like, probably by the time you and I got to high school, almost every team had a European player.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Some were really, really good. For unfortunately, some we were not able to see in their prime. Sabonis is a great – Arvydas Sabonis.
Yeah.
We did not see him in his prime, no, which is too bad because he was apparently something to see.
Some guys I think we got sort of almost on the cusp of that, like a Tony Kukoc. Kukoc had kind of been established already, but he was like – his prime was kind of from there to here. It kind of like – so he stretched. It was kind of a cool, interesting career for him actually. But you're so right about this. Where now – not only does every team have one, in many cases, they're their best player.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. I mean, it's great. It's great for basketball worldwide. I mean, this is good for just bringing the gospel of basketball everywhere.
I'm one of the biggest homers in the universe, okay? If aliens come to this planet, we got to hope that I'm not shouting USA at them. Like, yeah, you should, or, you know, good thing it landed here and not somewhere else. Huh? USA, USA. Hey, everybody, the aliens landed here. I'm really bad about it. I admit. I wholeheartedly admit it. I'm warning people, too, because we've got Olympics coming up. So it's
going to get worse. Yeah.
But I'll be the first person standing in line to say yes, yes, yes when it comes to other countries or other players or anything like that helping the sport. I am a huge believer in if you want to stop them, stop them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't like a team running up the score on you, stop them. If you can't, that's not their fault. It's yours. I'm a big, big believer in that. And I take that same model, that same blueprint to virtually almost everything in sports or really in business. I believe that business brings out the best in you. I believe that competition brings out best in you. I don't think you should be handed things in life. I think that you need to work for stuff. I think we've seen plenty of examples of people that were handed things and it didn't work out very well. Whereas the exact opposite for when something you have to work for something.
Right.
Ask Jake about that. Ask Jake about, you know, wanting to...
Think about how much more he has had to work to get to where he is right now. He did not have any of the structure that guys over here or in Canada have, or even some of the other European countries. I'm telling you, man, that's impressive. It really is.
If you're one of the... And I haven't heard any of this. I have yet to hear any of this. But if you were frustrated with there being so... You know, the European players are better than American players, or we got to worry about the Olympics now in basketball, that kind of thing.
Well, the best player in baseball is Japanese right now, right?
Right.
Something
right.
like
any,
that.
Exactly. Any of these things.
Yep.
I don't begrudge you your opinions or your feelings, but I do kind of like, well, then we got to step up our game.
Exactly.
That's all that means to me is not that, I mean, really, what is the other answer to that? We shouldn't let them play in our league or something? That gets down a line that I don't think any of us want to go.
That's happened many times before.
Yeah,
it's not, well, not, no, yeah.
History hasn't looked too kindly on that.
No.
So here we are, where this is the way we're going to do it. And in regards to that, American players, up your game.
If you're going to ask any one of the great players out there, you say, well, what is it you do? Who do you want to play against? I want to play against the best, man.
Yep.
You hear people say, like, one of my favorites is like, someone asked Nolan Ryan, you know, what would have been your, what's one of your baseball dreams? He's like, oh, I wish I could have faced Babe Ruth. I wish I could have faced all the all-time greats. That is the kind of these guys are. Yeah. They want to beat the best, want to beat the best. And if you're not the best, if you don't have all the players from wherever they're from, you need the best players to do that. So wherever they come from.
You're right. That's a great point, man. As a league, it means something to say for Major League Baseball or NBA or any of these other sports to say we have the best in the world.
Exactly.
Not just we have the best... big most popular league, but we have the best players
right?
And most American, you know, MLB, all these major sports franchises have always or organizations, you know, as a collective have often said that. Hey, baseball World Series. It implies the greatest players in the world play here.
Right.
It kind of adds to that.
Where would baseball be without all the Latin American players?
Oh, my God.
Where would baseball be with now all of the Asian players coming in? And we're starting to get, you know, a few Australian players every now and then. And
that's
then
crazy.
Baseball's getting bigger in Europe and in Africa. I mean, who knows where the next big players are going to be coming from. So, yeah.
It comes back to me. I will always choose. I'm so thankful that I was born a lover, not a hater. I take more enjoyment in my team winning than my rival losing. Mm-hmm. And I am always thankful for that, and I'm thankful to be around sports fans like that. Again, right. Sports is about you and your feelings and like what you like and root for who you root for, against who you do or whatever. But I personally, that's the way I approach sports.
Why would you follow sports if it makes you miserable? What's the point of doing it? I don't understand that.
I don't understand, but yet we both know, and I guarantee everybody out there knows some people like that.
Exactly.
It seemed to only pay attention to sports.
Negative. Yeah, and why? Yeah, I don't get it. But
I don't know. All of this kind of leads into an interesting conversation, and I can tie these two things together, actually. They're asking if the NFL players will participate in the Olympics flag football event in 2028, so they've been asking professional players about that, and the NBA All-Star game from yesterday. So effort is what we're talking about here. It was a reach.
I see what you got there, though. Okay.
I'm bringing it like the effort of if these NFL players are going to play flag football. I think that's a great question and something that we're going to talk about for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
But I do think it's something that's curious and to keep your eye on.
Mm-hmm.
But the NBA All-Star game being a blowout and more points being scored than ever before and everything and all of that, and the idea of if there is not being effort out there. And that effort is focused on defense. And what I'm seeing from a lot of talking heads and from a lot of people is people who, one, don't know ball.
Right.
And are not looking at the box score.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that are putting their own ethics onto these players.
Mm. Yeah.
I asked Dame Lillard if he didn't give effort yesterday or this weekend as he won the 3-point contest, did something that only like Michael Jordan and a handful of players have done. Mm-hmm. Win the 3-point contest and the MVP of the All-Star game. Yep. And a Milwaukee Bucks jersey, by the way, everybody, or logo at least. That was effort. I watched a lot of that, the highlights from that. I didn't get to watch the game, but I watched a lot of the highlights. I saw a lot of effort. I also saw a lot of guys just standing around. And to me, that's the part that I think it gets frustrating, where you're just phoning it in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't expect you to hustle down the court. I don't expect you to get this massive block from the behind or something like that. Fine.
Right.
Fine. But you got to show that you're trying. Anthony Rendon just came out and said that baseball for him has always been a job. That it's never been his top priority.
Oh, wow.
And in his full quote, he said, his family, his faith come first.
Yep.
Nobody's going to fight him on that.
Yep.
But, man, if you're an Angels fan and you hear that news after this guy has done nothing for your franchise and he signed a 7-year, $245 million deal, lie. Lie. Don't. What are you doing? Like that. Nobody wants
to
hear
that. He is in a very
that.
Bad position to say anything. He should have just kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
He just should not have.
As we're talking effort in these last minutes here and everything, it's no different to me than what they're saying about NBA players in the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you expecting? What do you want? Mm-hmm. And what are they doing?
Right, right.
Great
show.
I
always go back to Joe DiMaggio. They asked him in the end of his career, why do you continue to play so hard? Because there might be someone out there who's not seen me play yet.
It's
that's a great example. If you're a star, especially, you need to get out there because people want to see you.
Yeah.
And you should give your effort, if nothing else, for that.
Joe DiMaggio only had 8 more strikeouts than he had home runs in his career. Just crazy.
It's insane.
It's insane. Great show, brother. Thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank you to the best listeners to radio. You guys have a good one. We'll meet you back here next Monday, 3 to 4, for more Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids.